It's Monday, November 8th. And to all the poor parents out there with young kids that didn't actually get daylight savings times, we're here for you. Let's go.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me.
Yeah, that's a good way to open this one. Definitely left field, but I feel you, man. Kids are all messed up. Like, my two-year-old's all messed up. All messed up. Already.
My kids were like, 4:45, let's go! It was a thing. So I was getting ready this morning. I was like, I got to shout out all my fellow parents of young kids that internal clocks ruled the day this weekend and squashed any hope of an extra hour of sleep.
Oh, man, there goes that quiet time. There goes that quiet time. I want to take a minute to welcome the new people to this podcast that is now The Automotive Troublemaker. Officially, wow. Day one of The Automotive Troublemaker. Put a flag in the ground. Here we are.
Put a flag in the ground. This is a big day because if you stared at, like, I don't know, 100 podcasters and ask them what would be the chances that a month after launching their podcast, they would just totally shift, change the name, change the graphic, the whole nine yards to something totally different. Probably 99 out of 100 would say that's podcast suicide.
Bad. Don't do it.
We are so under the belief that the access to the encouragement, the thoughts, the news, the way that automotive is going to be and is right now moving toward an innovative state and a state where the innovators, the troublemakers are much broader than the previous audience is so crucial to our industry that this podcast had to speak to more than just an audience that was for Contagious, the company that we're starting or anything like that, but that we needed to lean in and pull it into the automotive state of the union arena, which Paul, you know, so eloquently started during COVID, but it's grown legs and grown arms and all of that since then.
It's about to have some babies.
Let's go.
Things are going. So if you go back and listen to other episodes of the podcast, you'll realize that the format is actually the same. We were already talking to a broad audience. It just took us, you know, 26 episodes to figure it out. But that's okay. We figured it out early. Let me talk for a second about why it's so important that we create a space where everyone can come together, why we're making it short, 15 minutes. I only want to make content that I would listen to. That's it. And I'm pretty picky, right? So what can we do to give people a quick shot of energy? We see the automotive newses of the world. God bless them. We need them. We appreciate you. But the issue is, very few people, if you take the industry as a whole, are paying attention on a regular basis to the same content, to the same things. There's no rally point. So while you have readership of 50 or 60,000 and or circulation of that and about 3 people per magazine rate, we realize only like 8% of the industry is on the same page with the same thing. So we're like, well, how can we get 1 million people in the industry, not just owners and GMs and higher level management? Let's get service advisors and salespeople and lot attendants and mechanics and or technicians. I say mechanics. Let's get them all something that they can listen to and be informed about what's going on.
Yeah. And you know what's really crazy, you know, coming from the dealership world and even just encouraging other owners and operators, the first person that I always encourage someone to talk to when they're going into a new store or taking in a management role or anything like that is the lot attendant or the receptionist or the technician that hears everything and sees everything. Yet they're so segmented from the rest of the industry because the access to the information or the community that's been gathered has been so different. But we want to go to those lengths to find those people that care on the ground level, that are actually the first layer of conversation with the clients and the people in the community.
Yep.
That need the change of perception in order for the retail automotive industry to survive. So if we don't get there,
yep. We can't say that we really want inclusion. We can't say that we really want to be all like team oriented and a great place to work and have great company culture so we can deliver a great customer experience. We can't say that if we're willing to marginalize so many people from the progressive information that's going on. We're only willing to include them some of the time. When, like you just said, that the front line is going to be able to give you more information about how the consumer feels, about how they drive into the lot, about what they're saying when the manager's not around. Can you imagine what happens when you have a porter or a technician or anyone in the industry, but let's talk about porter or technician, that are like thinking about customer experience because they understand that the future of the industry depends on it?
Yes. Yeah. What if they're the people that are coming to the leadership and to the management going, you know, I noticed.
Oh my gosh. And they feel okay enough to do it. Or they're like, you know what I heard on the podcast this morning? I heard that this, is that true? Imagine the conversation that's going to come from that. And imagine how long that porter's going to stay a porter.
Yes. Not long. Right? Not let's go. So that growth trajectory. You know what? This reminds me actually of a conversation you and I had at Digital Dealer in the hall, right? Which we've talked about through and through. Those are the best conversations,
all day,
bar none, at any conference, right? But we're walking through the hall, and I don't know how we ran into this person, but I think somehow she was at, maybe she was at the Osotu event, but we run into a person that's a salesperson that got brought to
Digital Dealer. I was just thinking about her over the weekend saying, do we remember who she is?
Right.
We need to figure out.
We're
going to find somewhere.
If that's you and you're listening to this podcast, please reach out to us. So here's what's so interesting is that conversation, the most key point of that conversation to me was this moment where she was like, wait, there's others out there that think this way.
She had no idea.
Feel this way. Had no idea that this way of innovating or this way of being creative or engaging her clients or her company that she was doing on a ground level, she just had no clue that there were others that were thinking, pushing, and moving forward in this way.
She had the fire. She didn't know other people had the fire. And that's not because the owner of her store, right? She actually won the trip. She did really good.
Right.
So her dealer actually sent her out on this trip and they sent her to driving school. It was a really great story.
Genius.
But she had no idea because that just wasn't the culture of the store, or at least it wasn't, you know, when you don't know something exists, you're just not going to walk toward it, right? So, but she just found out it existed for her store.
Right.
And so we're going from the bottom up. Right? Most businesses are, let's get the owners. We want them. We have them. Look at our list of troublemakers. People, like, we're going to talk about Liza Borsches in just a second.
Yeah.
But we're going from the bottom up to bring everybody in. And that's what the podcast is going to be. That's what the regular email is going to be. Stay connected to the email. If you're not signed up there, go to dealerspushingback.com. Sign up for it. Right now, it's just one email a week on Mondays. But pretty soon, it's going to be every day. And this is going to be a full-on blitz against apathy in the industry, against marginalization in the industry. And this is what we believe needs to happen to make automotive industry the place to be. Whether you're a buyer, whether you're a worker and you're looking for a career, and not just the automotive industry, but the retail automotive industry powered by the local dealer. Let's be specific about that.
You're the new developer at the vendor. You're the new new lineman at Nissan's factory. Whatever that is, whatever that place is, like, you're a part of this industry and you're valuable enough that you should be leading with everybody on the innovation trail.
Yep.
And so that's what we're going to bring everyone into and give access to. I'm super excited. We have to talk about our good friend Liza.
Yes. Speaking of someone, hold on.
Stop. Segway. Stop. Segway.
Uh-oh.
we hit like 18 different things. I was blah, 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 blah.
It's Here's what it's supposed to sound like.
Here's what it's supposed Stop. To sound like.
Segway. Time.
If you're new to the podcast, we trigger that every time one of us tries to be clever with a segue. So speaking of, Kyle, this is your segue. Go for it.
Speaking of Liza and this incredible troublemaker, she got the opportunity to announce last week that they were purchasing 4 rooftops, 5 brands to bring more people into the Carter Myers Automotive fold. And what's so cool about that, right? She was 15 stores, moving to, I guess, 19 stores, 20 brands. But so not a massive group by any means. But what we know about that group is, wow, they are employee owned, right? That the leader is just someone that cares so deeply about people, so deeply about the community. And so to see her growing in her region, in her area, and giving her team access to that and bringing more people into the fold is just really encouraging for us. And we want to give kudos and shout out to her and the whole Carter Myers family.
See, that's what we talk about when we have troublemakers. We just had this event in Vegas where we named troublemakers. We have a custom deck of playing cards, and Liza is one of the people on one of the playing cards because of this very, very reason. Absolutely. Let's see. We usually talk a little bit about news and things that are going on around the industry. One of the things that's popped up, and it's going to happen this week, our friends at Rivian are about to go public. Last week, we talked about how all of a sudden, you know, with all the filings, it became known that Amazon is a 20% stockholder in the company. And so now Rivian is positioning itself as an Amazon-backed company, right? That's a strong brand move right there. And now they're going public. So what's going to happen?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of speculation on that. There's some high valuations that they're shooting for. I'm just really excited to see about it. I'm not, you know, neither of us would claim to be stock aficionados or IPO aficionados. But we're still watching, because that's a big thing for automotive and for EV to see what the value of the scale is, right?
Oh yeah.
Which we talked about a few times, and how that stock value is a scale of perception and what the perception
it's
is.
It's a weighing machine. We're gonna shout out to Mike Morgia Financial Partners, who said stocks are a weighing machine when the stock price is based on actual earnings. Or it's a voting machine, right? It's just public perception. In the beginning, it's always a voting machine, right? What earnings are you weighing it against, right? It's not going to match up. But eventually, everyone becomes a weighing machine. But right now, it's a voting machine. So we'll see how people feel about the voting machine for Rivian. Speaking of electric vehicles.
Segway.
Time.
All right, nothing like a little MC Hammer on a Monday morning. The stimulus package, or the infrastructure package, not to be confused with the spending bill, which is coming at some other time that everyone's going to promise. The infrastructure package that was passed late Friday night includes $7.5 billion for the government to install electric charging stations. So, which is really different, because the government has never built or invested in or see as important to support gas stations. Yeah.
It's been totally private,
right?
Gas and electric up until this point.
So now I wonder who's going to supply the electric. Maybe not the federal government, but the infrastructure part, right? Like just like you build a highway or build train tracks or things like that. That is just going to be another element that propels EV forward, right? That's one of the biggest problems, like range anxiety, access to charging. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about, you know, 100,000 Teslas and Hertz, a lot more people getting to drive EVs. And then we also talked about the credit, the tax credit you could get for buying an EV. That's also going to help it. Now we see money being allocated in the budget to build the infrastructure needed for that. So, I mean, dang, this is coming, man.
It's coming fast. You have to know that it's coming, and to not just push it aside, but understand as a dealership or a manufacturer that positioning yourself to be ready for and knowledgeable about the EV space is extremely important.
Yeah. Look, if you're a dealer, you're listening to this right now, being the source of good information for EVs for your community is a great position to start building. Dig in on that position right now. Dig in. The savvy dealers are doing it. Like, you look at even people like Bergstrom Automotive and how they've installed tons of solar panels to kind of, I mean, that was almost a financial decision, but it's also something that sends messages to your community that you're paying attention.
Yeah.
It really does. All right, we got 45 seconds left, Kyle. This is episode, well, I don't know what we're going to call it, but this is the first The Automotive Troublemaker episode. Again, I think it's important to just welcome the new people into the fold, remind you to go to dealerspushingback.com and get on the email list, because there is a whole lot coming, probably an end of year live stream that we're just starting to talk about, which is going to be amazing. It may or may not have the word extravaganza in it.
We've got weekly clubhouse or every other week.
Yeah.
We've got clubhouse.
This is the week. This is our week.
So this is our week. So those are the content streams that you can be plugged into, and we'll be filling even more media into the streams that you can can be a part of.
You can also follow along on LinkedIn. Follow the page, the Automotive State of the Union. We'll have all the Clubhouse times and dates. And the Automotive State of the Union Club on Clubhouse. You're not going to be able to get rid of us, no matter how hard you try.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If I said it once, no need to repeat. Run up on me, watch you fall to your knees. Tip my hat.